Welcome to Obesity, a Disease, the official Obesity Medicine Association podcast exploring the many facets of the disease of obesity. Obesity, a Disease podcast is brought to you by the Obesity Medicine Association, the clinical leader in obesity medicine.
Hello, and welcome to the Obesity Medicine Association's podcast, Obesity, a Disease. I'm Dr. Allison Rhodes, an obesity medicine specialist at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, and I'll be your host for this exciting new series where we explore how obesity intersects with a wide range of medical specialties. We'll be diving deep into how different fields are tackling obesity, both the challenges and the opportunities for patient care. Today, we are joined by Dr. Cherie Stile, who's a board-certified orthopedic surgeon. She is a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgery and has extensive experience in treating patients with orthopedic issues and has been recognized in her field. In addition to her practice at Advanced Orthopedic Associates, she holds staff appointments at Chilton Medical Center. Welcome, Dr. Dial.
Thank you.
So I'd like to open by learning a little bit more about what drew you to focus on foot and ankle care in your orthopedic practice.
Well, I did my orthopedic surgery residency quite a while ago. And at the end of that, I felt like I really wanted to have a bit more training in foot and ankle. So I did my fellowship training in foot and ankle. And for a number of years, I practiced and was director of service for foot and ankle. But then I came into private practice and I expanded that because we're trained in all of orthopedics. So I really do take care of all patients now with orthopedic issues. And that includes my subspecialty interest in foot and ankle.
How often do you see patients with obesity presenting with foot and ankle concerns, or even hip and knee concerns?
Well, in general, as you know, the population of the U.S. is about 74% of people either have an issue with overweight or obesity, of which about 34% have obesity, about 40% are overweight. I once did a little experiment in my office just to see, you know, what weight my patients were coming in as, and 98% of my patients were overweight. So I would say the majority of my orthopedic practice includes people who have issues of overweight or obesity.
Wow, that's an impressively high percentage. It certainly seems to demonstrate that there's a clear connection between having obesity and developing orthopedic concerns. Can you describe what some of the most common concerns you see in terms of lower extremity conditions in patients with obesity in your practice?
Of course. In the foot and ankle, we see a lot of plantar fasciitis or heel pain. I see patients who have a flattening of their feet. Now, flattening of the feet is normal over time, but what we're talking about here is one-sided flat-footed deformity, which is occurring over a rapid bit of time. We would call that a posterior tibial tendon dysfunction or flat foot deformity. We also see people who have Achilles tendonitis. There's a high prevalence of people who have cartilage lesions from impingement and stress fractures and ankle fractures, sports types of injuries. In the knee, there's a lot of osteoarthritis. In the hip, there's a lot of osteoarthritis. Meniscal tears, calcaneal fractures, dislocations. People who are overweight or have obesity tend to have a higher risk of all of these things.
And can you explain how excess body weight affects the biomechanics of all the joints in the lower extremities?
Yes. So we typically think about how obesity affects the body in two ways, either as the adipose or fat tissue itself causing problems, right? Or as a fat mass issue, meaning the too much tissue and what it does. In orthopedics, both of these things can influence. But typically what we're seeing is increased mechanical stresses, increasing the joint reaction forces, decreasing people's mobility. People can become immobile. your center of gravity changes, and that alters your gait. Your balance can become impaired. And when you put all of these things together, it puts more stress on the joints. It causes a higher risk for injury. And we think about this in terms of, okay, for every pound, we have 4 to 6 pounds as being experienced by the knee joint. So you can see that if a person has obesity, their joints themselves are experiencing much higher forces, much more prone to wear and tear.
That's an incredible number to think about. You know, 1 pound having an excess 4 to 6 pounds on joints, especially thinking about the foot and ankle, which are, you know, more delicate joints and, you know, have so much more complexity. I'm curious, what patterns do you see in terms of when patients begin experiencing orthopedic problems in relationship to weight, maybe, you know, certain BMI range or certain ages?
So what I see is that as people's BMI change, we have increased challenges as far as mobility, activity. These things become harder and harder to do. People are less inclined to do them. There is weight gain. And then we see that the chronic inflammation that comes from this causes irritation of the joints. We start to notice that tendon problems become more of an issue, and the risk of having these things also increases significantly as the weight increases, and it becomes this cycle, right? So as you stop moving and start gaining weight, then you move less, you gain more weight, and it just goes over and over and over unless you break that cycle.
I love that you bring up this concept of a cycle. And I think that as obesity medicine specialists, we do see ourselves as educators to patients about this cycle. Yes. With you and your unique role as both an orthopedic surgeon and an obesity medicine specialist, how do you see your unique role in educating patients on this cycle? And then also, what do you tend to advise patients on how best to even take some first steps to breaking the cycle?
So I think here we always have to remember the concept of readiness, right? Is someone ready to hear this? Where are they in that stages of readiness? But for me, I think I have a rather unique entry into this. I'm an orthopedist and people come to me because something hurts. Okay, so already there's a problem. How do I frame that for them? How do I put that in perspective? We were sharing a little bit before when I told you that my interest in this really started because as an orthopedic surgeon, most of the time someone comes and I fix something, but I was noticing these repeat offenders. People were coming over and over again because the fundamental problem wasn't addressed. Yes, you had a meniscal tear. Yes, I did your arthroscopy, but the real problem was the excess weight that was causing these altered biomechanics, that was driving the inflammatory process, that was driving more meniscal tear, more arthritis, and they were back again. So I really wanted to interrupt this cycle, and it became clear to me that I was going to have to take a two-stage approach to problems. One, your orthopedic problem was the sentinel event. Come in, let's address that. Okay, once that's addressed, how are we going to maximize your lifestyle after this? How are we going to maximize your outcome? Now people were willing to hear, okay, yes, you had this orthopedic problem, but part of it stems from what is going on with your weight. Part of it is stemming from your activity levels. Let me help you address that so we're not here again. So the first stage is awareness that there's a problem and dealing with that immediate pain-solving problem. And the second thing is, okay, let's talk about the etiology of this and how we can help you move forward with lifestyle changes to minimize the impact that the orthopedic issues are having on you. People are very receptive to hearing it because once they have had to deal with, you know, the pain and the surgery, whatever, they don't want to go back there again. And if you can point to them This is a definite cause. Now, I'm not just asking you to go and lose weight. I want to tell you how to do that. I want to help you do that. Let's talk about this together. Are you willing to think about this? Because it takes a lot of emotional space. When you frame it that way and you say, okay, are you ready yet to deal with this? Because I think there's some things we can do a little bit at a time. We can sneak up on this. Do we want to start with our fitness and our exercise? Do we want to start with our eating? Where do we want to start with this? In the end, we're going to do all of it, but where do you want to start? People will meet you if you start there with them. You gain their buy-in. You give them self-efficacy. I think that is really what the whole thing is about.
I love hearing that comprehensive approach that you take, especially because for many patients, I imagine they don't necessarily feel like they have a part in a, you know, surgical consult, right? It's like you said, they have pain, they have a problem, and then you're going to do a surgery and that's that. So the fact that you're involving them in this partnership for a longitudinal plan is truly empowering. For patients that come see you that maybe don't necessarily need a surgery or need a surgery right away, how would you describe the importance of early intervention and preventing progression of the orthopedic conditions that you see?
Well, the very first time I see a patient, unless it's something emergent, you want to give options, right? You want to gain compliance. And compliance doesn't come in by being maternalistic and say, you do X, right? That's not how it works today in society. And we're coming into, a lot of people coming in to see physicians are looking for an easy way out. All right, give me a pill, right? Do some surgery and make it go away. But I think that it becomes very important to let them know that there's chronicity in this, right? That these problems are chronic problems. So we have to talk about, okay, how do we know that we're starting from this point. I can't undo any of the damage to your joints, to your anatomy. How are we going to try to prevent future issues so that it doesn't progress? Okay, you may have arthritis. How do I make it so that you can live more comfortably with it? When you start to frame it that way, then I think people are willing to start listening to, okay, well, how am I going to live like that? All right. To live like that, we have to think about decreasing these things that are causing the problem. We have all of this excess weight on your joints. Can you understand that's an issue for you? And if we lose, and then you start to explain, well, how much weight is involved and what does your knees see? And people start to hear that. Like, they understand if you put it in terms of, I want to make your life better. I want to help you live longer with this. I want to help you live better with this. Nobody wants to come in and out of the doctor's office. So if you tell them, listen, this is what you have, but if we take some steps, we can help you live a better quality of life. And many times that's what I say. We're talking about quality of life issues. Okay. How do you want to live? What's your goal? Like, why is it important for you to be able to move? And when you start to get down to that, well, I want to play with my grandchildren. I want to be able to hike with my husband. Okay, well, you'll be able to do that more comfortably if we take some of these steps. And when you get that kind of buy-in, then I find that people are much more willing to then take part in ownership in it.
It sounds like we need to give you another epithet as a life coach. I love that you're exploring all the different elements of a person's life and the factors that matter to them. You're absolutely correct. I think finding that point where you can meet a patient and what's important to them and how do you improve that experience or that function in that domain, we're going to get so much more buy-in from our patients. I'm curious in terms of your practice. I know earlier you were telling me that you are a solo practitioner. How do you collaborate with obesity medicine specialists and or primary care providers to help your patients manage their weight and joint health?
Well, there are a couple of things. One, since I am board certified in obesity medicine, I am able to provide what the support my patients need as far as counseling and management of their weight moving forward. However, I do feel that it is essential to let their physicians know what's happening and to talk with them about how we can best manage this together. A patient's primary physician is like the captain of the ship, right? So they should be aware of everything that's going on. Many times, patients are on multiple medications, right? We have a lot of polypharmacy going on. We have to sit down and say, well, okay, which of these, this as an obesity medicine specialist, this is very, you know, familiar to you. Okay, which of these medications that you're on are helping to contribute to weight gain? Which ones are potentially more weight losing? Which ones are weight neutral? So we have to talk to doctors to say, well, okay, they're on this medication for their blood pressure, this medication, you know, for their psychological health. These things are not weight neutral. Are there other options we can give them? You know, we have to talk to doctors about, okay, this patient has a cardiac history. They want to start to exercise. Are they clear to do that? What can they do? What's safe for them to do? You have to talk to other specialists who perhaps have operated to say, well, okay, what can that patient take? What can that patient do at this stage? What are their capabilities? What do I have to watch for? You have to speak with physical therapists when you're sending to say, all right, do you have the capacity to deal with someone of this weight? What exercises can you offer them? Do you have water therapy that might help relieve the joints? What do your facilities have? Are your exercise machines able to accommodate someone who is this size? And I mean, many times I take myself, if I'm going to be referring to a facility, I visit to see, okay, well, show me your setup. What do you do? How do you manage this? Because there are unique challenges, right? Both from the physical and the psychological perspective. If someone walks into your office and they can't fit in a chair, that's demoralizing, right? That shows that you have no respect for them as a person, that you don't even have a place for them to sit, okay? So you have to think about not just the physical, but the psychological components. So yes, and as we speak of psychology, sometimes you have to say, talk to patients about their psychological health. You know, do you have someone that you're talking to? Do you have a healthcare provider that supports you psychologically, that can help you? Do you have family support? Sometimes the family support isn't behind. So I think that when you start dealing with weight management issues on any level, you have to coordinate with the entire team to make sure everyone is on board to provide the support and messaging that's necessary.
I truly appreciate your unique training as both an orthopedic surgeon and an obesity medicine specialist. I, as an obesity medicine specialist and former primary care physician, would absolutely be thrilled to receive a note from an orthopedic surgeon recommending that I reduce medications that cause iatrogenic weight gain in my patients. So I feel like listening to everything that you've just shared, I hope that we have even more orthopedic surgeons, you know, choose to pursue obesity medicine board certification. I can see how it provides a level of complexity and integration and satisfaction for you in your own practice. If you had to give one key piece of advice to patients with obesity about protecting their joint health, what would it be?
I think the thing that I would say to them is, this is difficult, okay? And you've been managing this by yourself for a really long time. You need to seek any necessary help that you need to manage your weight and to maintain your activity levels. I would let them know that it takes a village, right? And that they should not be hesitant to seek out people who can support their goals and help them further them.
Dr. Dial, thank you so much for all of your thoughtful insights. Next time, we'll dive into surgical complications and recovery for patients with obesity undergoing lower extremity joint surgery.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Obesity, a Disease. For more information about Obesity Medicine podcasts and other valuable resources from the clinical leaders in obesity medicine, please visit www.obesitymedicine.org/podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode and want to listen regularly, head over to iTunes where you can subscribe, rate, and leave us a much appreciated review. The views expressed in this episode are those of the host and guest and do not necessarily represent the opinions, beliefs, or policies of the Obesity Medicine Association or its members. Please join us again for our next episode of Obesity, a Disease.